Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Rediscover Hour. Hope you are all doing wonderfully, fabulously, swimmingly on this weekend of, if you're listening on Friday, we are celebrating the solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Tomorrow, if you're listening on Saturday, of course, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and Sunday, as always, is the Lord's Day and the Resurrection Day. And what a wonderful treat we've had as the weather continues to brighten and warm up here in the lovely confines of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. And I'm wondering if you're planning on getting out there and doing some traveling this summer. I remember just a little bit of a personal reflection. I remember in the summers when I was a boy growing up in Wisconsin, my mom and dad would pile me in the car. Actually, usually when my mom was driving, my dad and I would sit in the back seat, and we had this little magnetic chessboard, and we would be playing chess in the back seat as we, oh boy, we went everywhere, it seems like. We were out in the east. We were, we didn't get all the way to the west coast, but a lot of traveling down south. Of course, we hit some of the national parks and, yeah, Wyoming and Utah and places like that. So, I mean, traveling is just something that I think I always will associate with summer. Summer break, kids are out of school, you know, well, we're going to travel. Well, here's a little bit of a challenge for you all who are listening to the Rediscover Hour. First of all, the basic challenge is don't forget to take the Lord with you, right, when you go traveling this summer. But I also want to challenge you not just to keep up with your prayers and devotions while you're traveling and, of course, go to Mass on Sundays and seek out daily Masses, but also look where you're going. Check it out a little bit. Look around where you're headed or even what's along the way. Because even if your vacation is not specifically, or it's not lined up to be a pilgrimage of sorts, you can make pilgrimage elements, or you can incorporate pilgrimage elements to any travel, any vacation, any destination that you might be going to. Well, anywhere where there's a Catholic church anyway. So look for places to stop. Maybe there's unique places to go. And I think one of our guests a little bit later on this today is going to tell us a little bit more about one of the experiences she had just very recently. So anyway, as we're heading into this show, that's exactly what we're going to be talking about is pilgrimages. And we're going to start off. Father Joseph Johnson, pastor of Holy Family in St. Louis Park, has led many pilgrimages overseas. And we're going to be talking to him by phone. And then joining us in studio will be Kim Doyle, who's part of the Archdiocesan Grandparent Ministry Core Team. She's going to talk about the upcoming grandparent and grandchild pilgrimage. So grandparents and grandchildren, make sure and listen up for that. That's coming up on June 28th. And then Enzo Randazzo, the Men's Evangelization Manager here in the Archdiocesan Office of Evangelization, is going to be with us. But he's going to be talking about wearing a little bit different hat. He's going to be leading a pilgrimage of young people to World Youth Day in Panama. So he's going to be talking about that as well. It's a time of travel. It's a time of, you know, getting out there and exploring. But again, just commit that time to the Lord, as we should with this show right now. So let's pause and commit the show to the Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, as together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we go into our first break, I want to encourage you to stick around as we are talking about pilgrimages. As you get out there, go with the Lord. We'll be right back. Rediscover.
Do you know what it means to give first? It's giving without asking for something in return, right? Helping a neighbor, friend, or family member. Giving your time, energy, or money to support a great cause. Well, the folks at Catholic United Financial know firsthand the benefits of giving first. Why? Because they're a not-for-profit financial company. For example, no one asked them to raise millions of dollars each year for Catholic schools. It's what they do. No one asked them to give post-secondary scholarships to over 500 kids each year. It's what they do. No one asked them to create a disaster response team 10 years ago to help those in need. And finally, no one asked them to hold annual volunteer events to help benefit the homeless and those less well off. They do it because they're a Give First organization, and they've been doing it for 140 years. People helping people with life insurance, annuities, and retirement products. Look them up at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org and do business with a Give First organization. Give them a call today.
Like that bump music. That's very nice. Little riff there going on. Yeah, we are back at the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Conley with you again, and we are talking today about pilgrimages, getting out and exploring where our faith, maybe there are specific places in our faith that we need to become more familiar with, that we need to go, but specifically how we can go to pray, we can go to focus on the Lord, and we can go to deepen our relationship with Him. Joining me now on the phone is my friend, Father Joseph Johnson, pastor of Holy Family out in St. Louis Park. And you are not in St. Louis Park, though, are you right now, Father?
No, I'm going to an ordination of a Jesuit from the Minnesota in New York.
Oh, very good. In New York. Wow. Well, say hello to the Big Apple from the Mini Apple, if you would.
Right.
Well, thank you for joining us, and happy Solemnity of the Sacred Heart to you, Father.
Indeed. Great day to talk about pilgrimages, because so many pilgrimages have been made to places that have been consecrated to the Sacred Heart.
Yeah, very good. Well, I do want to explore with you some of the great places that you have personally been and that you've led pilgrimages to. But I want to start off just with what makes something a pilgrimage? What constitutes a pilgrimage, and why are they spiritually beneficial? Why should we go on one?
Well, I think we start with the context of, you know, our faith is incarnational. So God comes down to us and He speaks to us in particular places, in particular ways. So even in the Old Testament, you have places that are set apart, they're sacred, they're holy. And the chosen people of Israel, of course, you know, there was Mount Sinai early on, but then the temple in Jerusalem is a place. And Jesus, with St. Joseph and the Blessed Mother, would go on pilgrimage regularly, as many of the chosen people could, to the temple in Jerusalem. So we see this as something that comes all the way back from the beginning in the Old Testament, this place, a consecrated place, set apart, that's holy for an encounter with God. And this taking time away, making sacrifices to journey, to be there, to encounter God. So as far as a place, you know, there are many places that you can go on pilgrimages, but I always say a pilgrimage is not so much a travel to a particular geographic destination. A pilgrimage is a journey closer to Christ. Right. So with that understanding, now you can go on pilgrimage anywhere. Right. But again, this is what distinguishes it then from a couple of other things. So even though I'm going to a Jesuit ordination, I was trained by Dominicans, so I have to make some Thomistic distinctions here. And one of them would be, you know, it's not a vacation. All right. And it's not a retreat. Because I think some people think, okay, I'm getting on a plane and I'm traveling, so I'm away from work, I'm away from the normal duties of home, so I'm on vacation, right? But it's not a trip whose primary purpose is relaxation. But on the other hand, the opposite side of that scale, it's not a retreat, meaning that when you're on one of these pilgrimages, now that's, I'm saying, you know, unless you're going on your own, then you can kind of do it as you will. But if you're going with a group on a pilgrimage, mm-hmm. there will certainly be times of prayer. It wouldn't be a pilgrimage without prayer. But at the same time, there are things like at the Transfiguration on Mount Tabor, where the disciples said, "Oh, 'tis good, Lord, to be here. Let's pitch three tents and just stay." You know, most pilgrimages, you're going to multiple places, and so you would love to just linger longer and remain and be in that encounter. But the Lord says, well, you know what? You know, even if you're not going to other pilgrimage sites, you've got to go back home. So you can't just remain here. You can't just stay and stop and live the rest of your life in contemplation at this place.
Right.
This is to fortify you, like the Transfiguration was, to go back out and do the work of the Lord and be his disciple. It's also not the same thing as what I would call religious tourism, meaning that if you're part of a group, and great, there's a priest as part of the group, and we're going to have daily mass, that's great, but that could simply be religious tourism. A pilgrimage, in my estimation, a true pilgrimage, is one where, again, there's this whole notion of I have set aside this time, and I've made sacrifices monetarily to be able to make this journey. And, of course, those are the things that are most dear to us, right? We have time and money are the two things that are most in demand that we have to be so good at stewarding. And I'm going to sacrifice both to go on this trip. And my intention is to come closer to Christ.
Right. And I think that's a really important that's an important thing to maybe drill down a little bit more into is the element of sacrifice, that because the intention of the pilgrimage is to draw closer to the Lord, that sacrifice is a part of that whenever we do that, whether in our daily life, our daily walk with the Lord, or be it on a pilgrimage. And a lot of times a deterrent, I'll be honest, for me as well as for a lot of people, I think a deterrent is the cost of a pilgrimage, especially obviously if it's one that's abroad. But we need to view that, at least we need to evaluate it not in the sense of, well, I'm spending this much money on my vacation, but I'm sacrificing so that I might draw closer to the Lord through this pilgrimage. There's a difference there, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, frankly, let's remember, you know, the Lord is never outdone in generosity. If,
right.
You know, obviously we have to be prudent. We can't take the money that was set aside for rent or car payments or health insurance and spend that on a pilgrimage. But if it's a matter of discretionary, you know, income, making a sacrifice that I'm not going to have other things in order to do this, the Lord is never outdone in generosity. And if you also think about this, you know, many people go on just normal vacations that cost thousands of dollars, you know, and the like. And so you don't think necessarily so much you're spending it on going to a beach holiday or this, that, the other. You know, so if you kind of think of the way that's good for my body to relax and all this, what's good for my soul? And I've got to be willing to spend at least as much money on taking a trip to benefit my soul as I would on taking a trip to benefit my body.
Right.
You know, if you want to think about it that way as well. But the other thing to remember is this. We have pilgrimage sites in the United States you can drive to.
Amen.
You know,
yes.
Sometimes I get frustrated because our American Catholics don't understand how many beautiful pilgrimage sites we have in the United States and how many saints we have in the United States. I organized a pilgrimage a few years ago to go to some of the sites of the American saints and then to some of the Canadian saints as well. And it was very unenthusiastically, you know, received. And so as I changed it to a pilgrimage to Lourdes, and it filled up overnight.
Right.
You know, so I think sometimes, you know, we fail to realize what good things we have at our fingertips. You know, there's a growing list of American saints that we can visit, and hopefully we should make part of our journey of prayer, that even when we can't journey to them physically, we should be reaching out. These are the holy people God gave to us in our nation. Like here in New York City, you know, I bet most people don't realize that at the southern tip of Manhattan by Battery Park is St. Elizabeth Ann Seton's home, which is now a shrine. And at the northern tip of Manhattan, right by the Cloisters Museum up there, is the shrine of St. Francis Xavier Cabrini, Mother Cabrini, our first U.S. citizen canonized. Her body is up there in the shrine of Mother Cabrini. So both ends of Manhattan have shrines of saints.
Nice.
Most people probably didn't know that.
I didn't.
Yeah, so there, you know, whenever you're going to travel, you know, there's saints in Philadelphia. There's Mother Seton herself, her body, her tomb, right outside of D.C. You know, even in Hawaii, we've got two saints that worked in Hawaii. So if you're looking for that January getaway, you know, to Hawaii, you could actually make it a pilgrimage.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good to me.
Well, and to most Minnesotans, I think, as well.
yes, absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit about, I know, having been on some pilgrimages with you, Father, and knowing that you've led a number of them yourself, and been on, I'm sure, a number of them as well. What are some of the destinations out there that are most popular or have made an impression on you and really the Lord has really worked to draw you closer to himself?
You know, I think in first place has to always be the Holy Land. Mm. You know, we call it the Holy Land for a reason. This place is set apart. Sometimes it goes by the nickname of the Fifth Gospel. Because there's something about being in the very place where Jesus walked. There's something about reading the scriptures where these events actually took place. And I know because of geopolitical concerns, sometimes people shy away from going to the Holy Land. But I have to say, nothing compares to a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. It is the place that God himself chose. And there's just something so very beautiful about it. And I think you come away that any time after that, that you're reading the scriptures, that it's a much richer experience because of that. Now, it's expensive because it's a long way away and all, but I really think that always has to be the number one. And that's how it was always in the tradition of Christian pilgrimage. You know, it was only as persecutions and as unrest made it dangerous to go to the Holy Land that other places, you know, became more popular. I mean, Rome also would certainly be the number two spot. That's the heart of the church. There's so many saints there, you know, Peter and Paul and the rest. But in the Middle Ages, the other ones that came right after that were substitutes for Jerusalem. You could go to Santiago de Compostela, the shrine of the Apostle James in northwestern Spain. You know, and that was a substitute if you couldn't get to Jerusalem. Canterbury, yeah. In England, which right. is no longer a Catholic shrine, but that was the fourth great medieval pilgrimage site, the tomb of the great bishop martyr St. Thomas Becket.
Right.
You know, that Chaucer's Canterbury Tales was written about pilgrims going there. So there's this great tradition of pilgrimage. Our Lady's apparitions certainly have created a wonderful way for us to get closer to God and to visit places like Fatima last year for the centennial. So many people traveled from around the world there. Lourdes is always such a wonderful experience, and so many people go millions every year. And then, of course, there's closer to home, Guadalupe in Mexico. Our Lady of Guadalupe is been crowned as Empress of the Americas, you know, and just a beautiful place to pray and to see the devotion of the people of Mexico, where one year I was blessed to be able to be there for the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and to see that people in villages, you know, away from Mexico City, stopped what they were doing a week before the feast and just started walking. And they walked and they walked and they walked to get there. And when they got to the gates of the shrine, so many of them would drop to their knees in the last half mile they would do on their knees.
Wow.
You know, this is devotion. You know, that's what you have to, again, think about sacrifice with pilgrimage. Not that everybody has to go around on their knees, but that there are always sacrifices. We complain if, you know, there's enough leg room in the plane or if the air conditioner on the bus goes out or, you know, we need to get this sense of a sacrifice that goes with the pilgrimage. Because sacrifice is one of the ways that our heart is conformed more to the heart of Christ.
Right.
You know, if we have a self-indulgence to us, you know, we're not going to be able to get so close to Christ. Christ is self-gift. You know, God so loved the world that gave us his son. Jesus so loved that he gave up his life for us. So if I don't learn how to give of myself, if I'm always interested in me, you know, then I've got to have a radical conversion of heart there. And that's, of course, when I talk about this pilgrimage as an encounter with Christ, as drawing closer to him, it's another form of conversion. You and I are always called to be getting closer to Christ, always called to be getting more, becoming more Christ-like. you know, that complacency is a terrible danger to the spiritual life. You're never standing still. You're going forward or you're going backwards. And pilgrimage is one of those great ways to give a good oomph, to give a good push, a boost, to make sure that we're still headed in the right direction. And so that conversion of heart that can happen through encounters with these holy places, through reading the lives of the saints and praying to the saints that are buried at different shrines, through listening to the messages of Our Lady and taking those messages to heart, letting her invite us to become more like her son, letting her lead us closer to her son. These are the things that make pilgrimage such a rich experience.
Right. What a great encouragement here as we're talking about pilgrimages today on the Rediscover Hour. Father Joseph Johnson, pastor at Holy Family in St. Louis Park. Just before we let you go, Father, would you be willing to give us an on-air blessing, please?
Certainly. On this beautiful solemnity of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, we ask that God pour forth abundantly his merciful love upon our world, especially upon our families, all those who are sick, all the brokenness in our relationships, that he might heal us, that he might fill us with joy and a generosity, that we too might love as he loves. And through the intercession of our Immaculate Mother Mary as well, may Almighty God bless you and all your listeners, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Father, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour, and I hope the ordination goes well and that this too is a pilgrimage for you.
Thank you. I ask all of the listeners to pray for this Jesuit Henry Fay from the Twin Cities, that he might be have a heart like Christ to serve the people as a priest.
Amen. We will do, Father. Thank you so much for being with us.
God bless.
Thank you. Well, that's such great encouragement now, knowing what a pilgrimage is, what the point of doing a pilgrimage is. And oftentimes, I think when you think about pilgrimages abroad, you don't necessarily think about bringing the kids along, and you don't necessarily think about bringing the grandkids along. But joining me now in studio is Kim Doyle, who is a grandmother of 6 grandchildren, ages 3 to 9. And she's a member of the Archdiocesan Grandparent Ministry Core Team. She's also helped to create a study guide, Living the Faith on Our Journey to Eternity, which accompanies Father James Mallon's EWTN Grandparent Series. She's contributed to a new book on the Catholic Grandparents Handbook, and she is here today to talk about another type of pilgrimage. Well, welcome to the show, Kim. Good to have you on the Rediscover Hour.
Thanks, Patrick. It's great to be here, and just hearing Father Joseph Johnson's, it really excites me about introducing our grandchildren to a pilgrimage experience. The Archdiocese is sponsoring one on June 28th, and it's Faith and Freedom, Grandparents and Grandchildren Pray at the Cathedral. It is going to be from 1 until 3. This is the second year we've done it. It was so popular last year.
Wow.
And it was such an awesome experience to be there and witness just the whole relationship between the grandparents and the grandchildren in the cathedral. Usually you go in the cathedral and it's quiet and everybody's just very, you know, just very reverent. And we had so much voice there that I know God was just so happy to hear the chatter. And part of it is a short adoration experience for the children. And to hear the grandparents saying, okay, now here's Jesus. Jesus is out on the altar,
right.
And oh, now Jesus is going away. And you don't hear that when you go into the Adoration Chapel, at least the Adoration Chapels that I've been to. So it was just a beautiful experience, and we'd love to invite everyone to join us there and bring your grandchildren. And if you don't have grandchildren, invite someone else's grandchildren. Be an adoptive grandparent for that day. And otherwise, just come yourself and volunteer. We need help there to pass materials and get people feeling welcome. So please connect with us, and we'd be happy to put you somewhere,
yeah,
so that you can share the experience.
Yeah, well, we'll certainly hit the details of that again. I know we've got it in our community events at the end of the show, but we'll certainly talk about it more where people can find out more. But let's back up a little bit and say also that being a member of the Archdiocesan Grandparent Ministry Core Team, you were part and parcel to getting this whole kind of grandparents movement, along with Jeff Cavins, my predecessor here on the Rediscover Hour, getting all of that started and really focusing in on the particular ministry that grandparents have. Tell us a little bit more about what are some of the specifics that grandparents, what are some of the things that they can do that maybe nobody else can do or other people would struggle to do?
I think, moving in to this phase of life myself, I have 6 grandchildren and they're all ages 9 to 3. So it's, fairly recent, and it's a beautiful time of life where I have more time. I'm retired. I have time to spend. I can help support my children as they're working and have that special time with their children that I really, it's a different way of relating. You just get to love them. You don't have to worry about so many other things, the discipline and all of that, sports, and you can just go and enjoy and love them. So I think, grandparents are such an integral part of the family, and sometimes they're kind of pushed aside, and many of the grandparents that I've met now through this ministry are feeling that way. They're either their families are away, they are long distance grandparents, they don't know how to connect or reconnect with their families, and they're feeling just very unimportant and that they don't have any value. And to watch the change as we've been going through some of the studies that we have and different series, and watching us grandparents gain new skills. Technology is a big one. and it's fun to do it together. Mm. And we can support each other in our role, and to be able to pass on our faith. In many of our families, our children have chosen to walk away from the Catholic faith, and that's very hard on us. And we don't know what did we do wrong. We put all the blame on us. And this grandparents ministry has changed our whole thought. And we say, no, God's got these kids, and he wants them back. And we have an opportunity to go through our grandchildren and form a different type of relationship with them and pass on our faith through our actions. And they watch us, and they ask questions, and bring them to the church. And I'm going with my grandson after this, and we're filling up his holy water bottle.
Nice.
And pay a little visit to Jesus before we go on our play date. And so you can integrate these different ways of introducing your faith, and it's a beautiful experience.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know that the Archdiocese, the Office of Evangelization, has been pretty focused on grandparents in a lot of ways and tried to equip parishes for helping grandparents to engage with some of the activities, some of the ways of handing on the faith that you were just talking about. And you're actually involved at your own parish, St. Joseph's in Rosemount, right? And with grandparents there, what are some of the resources that are available that you could pass on? What are some of the things that the parishes could do to support grandparents?
Well, yes, working on the core team at the Archdiocese has been amazing. And being there right at the beginning, we were developing a step-by-step process on how to bring a grandparents ministry into your parish. And we have a beautiful website there on the Office of Evangelization and Catechesis.
Very good.
And on that website, it's full of resources. And so all of the different programs that I've been able to bring into our grandparents ministry that we've presented that have been so positive in our development and support of each other are listed there. And they're easy to click on, tells you how to purchase them. We also will come out and help you start a grandparents ministry.
Nice.
So I'm open to doing that, sharing. We want to share everything. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's already there. So we'll give you that website at the end, too, so that you can click on those resources. But the first one we did was the Grand Adventure, and it really was beautiful because we brought in talking about our family history, talking about our grandchildren, talking about our relationship with our grandparents, and it starts to help you look at your family of origin and maybe why you are the way you are, and then how can we make changes and how can we increase our faith? And we realize that that's what we need to do, is we really need to continue to learn and form our own faith life so that we can then pass it on, to our grandchildren and our children.
Right. And I think some of the points that you make, that grandparents have this unique unique role to play in the lives of grandchildren as well. And it's always striking to me, I'm a convert to the Catholic faith, so it's always striking to me, I don't think I'd ever thought before that Jesus himself had grandparents. And I was introduced to Saints Joachim and Anne and got to know them. And in fact, my wife took Saint Anne as her confirmation saint's name. There's encouragement, there's saintly examples to follow. I mean, great saints to follow as grandparents as well. And in fact, utilizing that or begging for their intercession for grandparents, there's an archdiocesan prayer that you've put together for grandparents. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. That was one of the first things we did as we got together as a core team. We wanted to develop a mission statement and also a grandparent prayer that we can recite daily to help remind us of the need that we do need these intercessions.
Yeah.
And so I'd like to share that with you.
Yeah, please do.
Heavenly Father, through the intercession of the Holy Family, grant to the local church the many graces needed to foster, strengthen, and support faith-filled holy families. We thank you for the mission of grandparenting. Help us live holy lives and equip us with the tools to build up our families and parishes. Grant us the wisdom, courage, and love to be for each other a community of healing and support. Through the intercessions of Saints Joachim and Anne, Jesus' grandparents, send us the graces we need to be authentic witnesses as disciples of Jesus, so our children and grandchildren will come to know, love, and serve you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Wow, what a wonderful prayer. Yeah, thank you for all of your efforts putting that together and putting the resources together. Let's go back to the pilgrimage coming up at the cathedral. Again, the details on that, the details on that is going to be on Thursday, June 28th. It's going to be in the middle of the day, 1 to 3 p.m., and it's for grandparents and grandchildren specifically. What's going to be going on at that pilgrimage? What are you going to do?
Well, the first hour of the pilgrimage, we're going to have an opportunity for your grandchildren and yourselves to have a close-up view of the sanctuary, the altar, and the archbishop's chair. And then there's going to be a brief tutorial on the Mass by Father John Paul Erickson, and he's the Archdiocesan Director of Worship and the pastor of Blessed Sacrament Parish in St. Paul. Then we're going to have kind of a little scavenger hunt, and we've developed a prayer pamphlet to guide us through the many chapels and shrines of the nation in the cathedral. And at those different locations, we can pray for our families, pray for freedom for our country, and really just expose our grandchildren to the many different saints that we have to pray to.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to have an explanation and participation in Eucharistic adoration and a benediction. So it's just going to be a beautiful experience. And then afterwards, we go downstairs for lemonade and cookies.
Oh, of course.
So the children love it. They love it.
Yeah, lemonade and cookies. What a great way to round out a pilgrimage. Yeah, very good. And, I have to say this, since I'm also an employee at the cathedral, I have to say that the Cathedral of St. Paul is the national shrine of the Apostle Paul and therefore a pilgrimage destination. And in fact, some people don't know that there's a bond of spiritual affinity between the Cathedral of St. Paul and the Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls in Rome, such that all the spiritual benefits that are associated with making a pilgrimage to the Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls, they also can be obtained through making a pilgrimage to the Cathedral of St. Paul. So grandparents and grandchildren, I mean, there's a huge spiritual, as Father Joseph Johnson was speaking about, there's a huge spiritual benefit to making a pilgrimage to the cathedral. It's not just a visit, but it's a pilgrimage. It's set aside for prayer and drawing closer to Christ. Again, the pilgrimage for grandparents and grandchildren to the cathedral, Thursday, June 28th, 1 to 3 p.m. We do ask if you're going to go, please register online. And you can register online at rediscover-faith.org. That's our Office of Evangelization website. That's also where Kim was just talking about. All the resources can be found for grandparents and parishes looking to help or to start a grandparent ministry, rediscover-faith.org. www.freewillgive.org. It's a free will offering too, I understand.
That's right. Yes. Yeah.
So there's no absolutely necessary cost, although I think the suggested donation is $10.
$10.
Yeah.
It's just really important to register, because last year we had, I think, 70 that registered and we had 140 show up. So we didn't have enough materials, and we ran out of cookies, and so
what?
There were some disappointed kids. So yeah, just please register. Whether you know you can pay or not, it's not the problem. We just really need to know numbers so that we can have the right amount of materials and cookies there everyone.
Like you said, clearly there's an interest there.
Yes, it's very exciting.
Planning on 70 and 140, double that show up. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Well, Kim, I'm so grateful that you were able to join us on the Rediscover Hour, and I pray that God blesses you in all of your things that you're doing to help encourage grandparents in their unique roles that they play in the lives of their grandchildren, but also that he blesses you in being a grandmother yourself. Thank you for being on the Rediscover Hour, Kim.
Thank you, Patrick.
Yeah. We are going to go into our next break, but coming up after the break, Enzo Randazzo is going to be with us to talk about going to Panama and World Youth Day. Stay with us. Rediscover.
I don't think every Catholic really knows what the church teaches and what the truth is. And that's why I thank God for venues like Relevant Radio, where you're teaching what God teaches.
We're here to help you. We're here to say, hey, this is where true happiness will be found. Here's the truth about marriage. Here's the truth about life. Here's the truth that will bring you fulfillment. And you're not going to find that any other place than in Jesus Christ. And Relevant Radio's whole mission is to make sure that message reaches you in souls who perhaps are really blinded by the great deception of our day, by the culture. If you really want to change your culture, keep Relevant Radio booming.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. You can review all those benefits at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
So here goes nothing. Here goes everything. Gotta reach for something. Or you fall for anything. Take a breath, take a step. What comes next, God?
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Susanna Parent, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you from the Golden Valley Relevant Radio Studios, 1330 AM, and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Great to be having all the people with us talking about pilgrimages. And now joining us here in studio is Enzo Randazzo, who is the Men's Evangelization Manager for the Office of Evangelization in the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis. And Enzo, before we get into Panama, I've already given that away, that's what we're talking about.
All right.
How are things going with men's evangelization?
Awesome. Right now, summer is planning mode, you might say, and getting very excited about what's coming up. Bishop Cousins, this is his initiative. He really looks into how can we bring more men into the life of the church.
Right.
And I just had a meeting with him recently, and we have some plans. I don't want to unleash everything, but the idea right now is we're looking to go towards small groups, actually. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's going to get me in trouble to just throw that out there. But,
well, I hope not. But the Rediscover Hour could be the go-to place
right,
where people find out about what's going on.
I think that we're looking for more to grow fraternity, for men to look at other Catholic men as their brothers.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to develop that culture, you might say, in the Archdiocese. That's sort of a focus of us right now.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And just as another little teaser, we are going to have Deacon Gordon Bird on next week.
Oh, nice.
Because it's Father's
Day
weekend, and he's going to talk about Catholic Watchmen and the major initiative.
I've been meeting so many just awesome men who are really into, who really understand what it means to be to be a Catholic man, and
right,
he's one of them. He's awesome, so that should be great when
great.
He comes in.
Yeah, great. Now, you do wear a number of hats.
I do.
I've come
yeah.
to know that, and one of those hats has led you to lead a group of young people to World Youth Day.
Yeah.
Coming
so,
up.
I'm here because Father Joseph Williams, who was just recently named the Vicar for Latinos.
Nice.
He and I got together and talked about what are the priorities for the Latino population in the Archdiocese? And one of them is young adults.
Mm.
there are little these Catholic parishes, these that is Latino parishes in the archdiocese. There's a lot of young adult groups that are sort of sprouting up. The one at St. Stephen's is, I think, probably the prime example of just there's a lot of energy there. There's a lot of desire. There's a lot of hunger for the faith. And just demographically, Latinos in the archdiocese are young. On average, I think the median age is 24.
Wow.
So there's a lot of young adults, for good or for ill, I don't know, are getting a lot of attention by the church right now. And in particular, young adult Latinos are that this is in many ways the future of the church.
Mm.
So Father Joseph and I were talking about that, and now that we know that World Youth Day is in Panama, we thought, man, what a wonderful opportunity for young adult Latinos to sort of embrace the church universal in a place where they can sort of get in touch with a culture that's theirs or similar to theirs. Because a lot of these kids, you know, they grow up speaking Spanish, but they're in the United States, so they're sort of caught in between two cultures. And World Youth Day is just an opportunity to, like I said, embrace the church universal.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're trying to do, all that to say, what we're trying to do is bring a group of young adult Latinos to Panama and just have a blast. It's a party is what World Youth Day is.
So, right. Now, yeah. So just to, we might have some listeners who aren't familiar with World Youth Day. Give us a little bit. What in basic form, what is World Youth Day?
Yeah, I would say World Youth Day is a celebration organized by the church. That's, and in particular, for young people.
Yeah.
It was started by John Paul II. I believe the first one outside of Europe was in Denver that got the most sort of attention as World Youth Day, but they'd done it several times in Rome
mm-hmm.
beforehand. And as many people know, there's this sort of strange dichotomy, I would say, where a lot of people, a criticism of the church is that the church is old, it's declining in numbers. But then you look at someone like John Paul II, I think his funeral would be the prime example. It was so young, and it was so youthful, and there were so many young people there. So World Youth Day is a place where that's sort of shown to the world, that the church is young, the church is youthful.
Right.
I would say, yeah.
Right. And he was told, if memory serves, he was told it'll never work when he wanted to do World Youth Day.
Yeah.
Right? When he wanted to launch that. I think he was told that it won't work. And now, how many people show up? Millions.
Millions.
Literally.
Millions.
Millions.
I think the largest one was it in the Philippines?
I think you may be right about that.
But certainly, you know, the one in Brazil was I don't want to throw out numbers there, but I think 10 million people gathered at one point in Brazil.
That right. Wow.
So.
Yeah. So the next one is in Panama.
Yeah.
And when is that going to be?
It's January 22nd, or excuse me, let me look, I got my notes. Yeah, 22nd to the 27th.
Okay, of 2019.
Of 2019.
Yeah.
So it's in January.
Right.
Which is different.
That's a good time to go to Panama.
That's right, yeah. I guess they said that summer is their hurricane season, so they decided to do it in January.
Yeah, okay.
It's good for us Minnesotans.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very good. And these happen, World Youth Days happen, don't happen every year, so they're on a three-year cycle, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you know, if you look at the years, it's not exactly regular, but it's like 3 or 4 years. It's not exactly a cycle, but
right.
Yeah, 3 or 4 years, I would
okay,
say.
Very great. And the Holy Father, is he going to make an appearance?
That's the plan. He's always sort of, I don't know, he said at the last World Youth Day, I was there when he announced, it was in Krakow, and he announced Panama. He said, the Pope will be there. People were like,
what does that mean?
What does that mean? You're the Pope.
Yeah, exactly.
So be,
speaking about yourself in the third person.
Right. So, he'll be there.
Okay.
He's our Latino Pope, you know.
Right.
So.
Right. Exactly. All right. So how many people are you going to be taking with you?
I'm shooting for 20, but we're open to bring more. I have a group registered already with World Youth Day. So, I mean, the way you would get in touch with me if you wanted to come, this isn't exclusive Latinos. I want to make that clear. It's just sort of a focus of ours. But if young people, 18 to 30, you know, 31 or whatever, want to come, I would say—
47.
Yeah, right.
just
well,
throwing out a number.
You know— The Pope will be there, I guess. Right. You know, it's what is a young adult these days anyway?
Yeah, exactly.
So just get in touch with me. I'd say via email would be best. Randazzo V, my first initial Vincenzo. So RANDAZZOV@archspm.org.
Right.
if people want to come. But I'm shooting for 20.
Okay. So, all right. Yeah. Okay. Very good.
Right now, we definitely have more than that interested, and there are a few spots still open, but I'm open to extending it to more. So,
what kind of costs are involved?
Well, it's actually, I don't know, I think it's pretty cheap. So
really?
The high class route that we're doing, you might say, which is all the meals and we'll be doing home stays, is $250 for the entire thing. And so then the added expense is the flight.
The airfare, yeah.
Yeah.
So. Okay. $250 is, yeah.
It's a great
deal.
That's
great. Yeah, it's a great deal. Okay. And you, not everybody who might be interested is going to be able to come on this.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that a little
bit? Yeah, we talked about this. So, you know, at the last World Youth Day, they in Krakow, they broadcasted a sort of a simultaneous event that was happening in Iraq with all the refugees, Christian refugees that were there. And this sparked up an idea. It was a conversation I was having actually with Archbishop. A lot of people don't realize that Dreamers, the undocumented youth who came in, you know, under, I think it's under 13 when they would have come into the country, they're not able to leave the country. That is, they're not able to leave and come back in legally. So as we go out and we're meeting new, we're going to parishes and we're sort of looking for young adults to come into to World Youth Day, we're finding that many of them are undocumented and aren't even able to come. So we want to do a simultaneous event here in the Archdiocese.
Nice.
And we have a team that's trying to organize that right now.
Nice.
So it's very exciting. We want to see if we can broadcast maybe the closing mass.
Yeah.
And just have a party here while there's also you know, a group in Panama.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. So just to hearken back to what our first guest, Father Joseph Johnson, was saying when he was talking about pilgrimage, he was talking about, obviously, it's a way to draw closer to Christ as well. He was very careful to explain that it was that pilgrimages are not vacations. They're not, you know, kind of religious tourism or something like this. Would you classify this trip to Panama as a pilgrimage, as a way of growing deeper in relationship with Christ?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I totally would. I think that while World Youth Day is definitely a blast, it's not a cakewalk.
Okay.
We'll be sleeping in homestays. There's a chance we end up sleeping in a gym. We do at a certain point the Saturday night, we walk several miles to sleep under the stars and then wake up and have mass with the Holy Father. So that's a sort of that's a penance. It's penitential. But it's also, you know, there's joy in everything we do. So I don't want to make it sound like it's a bunch of sad faced saints, you know, as they say.
Yeah.
But rather it's joyful yet penitential. Yeah. And it's definitely a pilgrimage.
Yeah. Okay. What other kind of elements are involved in World Youth Day? I mean, if someone were to go, what should they expect?
I would say expect to walk.
Yeah.
There's a lot of walking.
Okay. Good to know.
Expect to be in crowds. Expect to be like stuffed up in groups sometimes. But that's the thing, is people can embrace that and have a lot of fun, you know? And that I know that I love that. And I remember being in Krakow and we're all getting shoved into a train that was going into the city, and there was just a ton of youth around, and they were singing and again, joyful. So I would say, just expect to get ready for a real, I don't know, physical but spiritual endeavor.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right,
yeah.
Right. What kind of fruits have you seen having attended a World Youth Day? What kind of fruits have you seen either in your own life or in the lives of others who attend?
You know, I think for me, a real palpable feeling of the church universal.
Mm.
And that's no small thing for us Catholics to know that we are part of something worldwide, that what it truly means to be Catholic is what I experienced there. I was able to experience that in Rome in many ways, sort of getting connected with the past of the Catholic Church, with the saints, with our ancestors. But then at World Youth Day, you sort of have this different angle where you see it from the worldwide, like, present connection with And again, with so many young people, so the faith becomes new and young and joyful.
Mm-hmm.
So that it gives you it's a real shot of energy in your faith. It really, when I went to Krakow, I didn't expect to have the great experience that I expect. I mean, it totally blew away my expectations.
Wow!
Yeah,
great. All right, so you've laid the bait out there, and I'm sure that a lot of people are now thinking, huh? Maybe either if they aren't of age to go, then maybe they know somebody, or maybe they themselves, if they're young enough, would want to go. So, so again, how do people get in touch with you if they want to find out more about the group that you're leading?
I would say best way to do it right now is my email. So randazzov@archspm.org. And if you do want to sign up independently, you just got to go to the World Youth Day website, which is panama2019.pa. People can even register independently if they want to do that.
Right.
But if you want to come with me, just email me. And yeah, it's going to be awesome. I'm super excited about it.
Yeah.
So we'll be going to different parishes, the group that's already registered, and trying to, you know, do some fishing, if you will, and bring in a bigger group.
Well, so. Enzo Randazzo, thank you so much for joining us here.
Thanks
on the Rediscover Hour. Yeah, and God bless you in all you do and all the hats that you wear.
Thanks.
All right. We're going to go into our final break. When we come back, we've got all sorts of information to give you on how to get more involved with your own faith, both here and other places. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Seems like the roller coaster stock market has everyone on edge lately. What if you could find something safe and secure that's guaranteed to grow, no matter what the market does? If you want to safely tuck your hard-earned money away, but still want growth, your friends at Catholic United have just the answer, a Catholic United annuity. Their current first-year crediting rate for new annuities is 3%, with a guaranteed annual rate of 1.5%, better than most bank CDs you'll find. Catholic United annuities are safe with zero account service fees, and you can set them up like a Roth or traditional IRA. Plus, if you want, you can even create monthly, quarterly, or yearly income payments back to yourself. What's not to like about that? Guarantee yourself a positive return, free from stock market risk. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org and find your local rep who can walk you through all the options. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Give them a call today.
You know, Paul Sadek makes those wheels spin, and he gets that bump music. It's been good today. I like that bump music today, Paul.
It's good every week.
Well, yeah, but I don't know. Something about it today just hit me.
It's you've got open ears today.
It could be that, yeah. What do we got going on, Paul?
Well, you're invited, of course, to the Rural Life Celebration, 1:30 on Sunday, June 24th at Goldview Farms in Waverly. Mass celebrated with Father Charles Lackawitzer, followed by lunch and children's activities like barrel train rides, hay wagon rides, seeing farm animals. Bring your own lawn chairs. Some seating will be provided. In case of rain, the celebration will be held indoors at the farm.
Wine, Women in the New Evangelization invites women of all ages to Women, Wine, and Wisdom on Tuesday, June 26th from 6 to 9 p.m. at Highland Hill Chalet in Bloomington. The talk, "I didn't sign up for this, Lord. I only wanted to buy a dozen cupcakes," is for every woman who has ever been asked by God to change her plans. I can't imagine any of them have. Yeah. For Catholic author and speaker Leanne Tiemann, simply being a dozen or buying a dozen cupcakes turned into saving hundreds of babies in the Vietnam orphan airlift. Take an evening to refresh your weary soul with hope-filled stories from Leanne, and enjoy folk and pop music from the very talented Marie Miller. Social hour begins at 6 p.m. Music and talks will begin at 7. Invite your friends and reserve a table for 8. Early bird pricing ends June 10th. For more information and to register, visit catholicvineyard.com/events.
Grandparents are invited to bring your grandchildren for a summer pilgrimage to the majestic Cathedral of St. Paul, Thursday, June 28th, 1 to 3 p.m. The special event takes place during the annual Fortnight for Freedom as we look forward to Independence Day. This pilgrimage to the cathedral includes the opportunity for your grandchildren to have an up-close view of the sanctuary, altar, and Archbishop's chair, brief tutorial of the Mass by Father John Paul Erickson, and more. We'll end the pilgrimage in Hayden Hall to enjoy cookies and lemonade. For more information and to register, visit rediscover-faith.org and click on events.
This year marks the 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae, an encyclical written by Pope Paul VI to reaffirm the Orthodox teaching of the Catholic Church on married love, responsible parenthood, and the continued rejection of unnatural forms of birth control and abortion. In recognizing this anniversary, Bishop Andrew Cousins will be meeting with young adult groups throughout the Twin Cities to discuss Humanae Vitae and address questions. You are invited to the Basilica of St. Mary in Minneapolis on Thursday, June 28th. Q&A with Bishop Cousins will take place from 7:15 to 8:30 p.m. in St. Teresa of Calcutta Hall, the lower level of Basilica. For more information, visit tcya.archsbm.org.
Be transformed and transform the world. The Office of Evangelization is excited to announce the Missionary Discipleship Series coming this fall. The series includes 3 4-week sessions in the fall, winter, and spring, each week with a live speaker and time for reflection, prayer, and Q&A with the speaker. For more information, visit the events page at rediscover-faith.org. There will be a series starting this October at St. Hubert in Chanhassen, and the location for the Young Adult Series is coming soon.
Yeah.
Coming soon is Father's Day.
Yes, Father's Day. We are going to talk about Father's Day next week on the Rediscover Hour. So join us as we talk with Deacon Gordon Bird from the Church of St. Joseph in Rosemont. Deacon Gordon will speak about the need for fathers in the home, as well as his experience in the Catholic Watchman. Also joining us will be the Antimon, that cupcake buying to communism fighting woman that we heard about in the earlier announcement. She'll be joining us on the Rediscover Hour as well. In the meantime, folks, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday at noon, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.